Right now, during GhostBed's Black Friday sale, you can get 25% off already reduced prices for a limited time. I know it's frightening, but just go to ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton at checkout. ghostbed.com/Norton, promo code Norton. Upgrade your sleep with GhostBed, the makers of the coolest bed in the world. Thank you guys for sponsoring this podcast. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Oh. Hey, everyone. I'm on the road. Great news coming up this weekend. I'm going to be in Portland the 13th of November. I just put my glasses on. I'm old and these are $8. November 13th, Portland. 14th, 15th, Eugene, Oregon. The 16th, Bend, Oregon. 21st, Huntington, New York. And then I'm going to Newton, New Jersey, Bangor, Maine, Foxwoods in Connecticut, Boston, Massachusetts, Sellersville, PA. I don't even know where that is. Bakersfield, California. And then I'm in Vegas. JimNorton.com/tour. Come on out. Have a chuckle.
Jim Norton can save you. Jim Norton is a train wreck. Jim can't help you solve your own problems. Jim is an idiot.
Three, two, one. All right, good. You're now live. Okay, now we're live. Okay.
We're all live. We're all live.
I protect everything with Face ID. Yeah. I'm a little paranoid about getting hacked.
I go numbers.
You do?
I'm old school.
You don't like the Face ID?
I don't like to put my face on things. Really? You know what I mean? I like to keep it, stay out of it. You know, I'm pretty untrackable.
You know what I mean? Just want to be numbers but no face.
Numbers, I don't know. That wasn't my phone. You know what I mean? I want to stay away from all that stuff. I know you're big into ICE and you think they're doing a great job. But I don't know. I don't know, Jim.
The only problem is they're not hassling enough Americans. And I think more Americans should be hassled. And I'm very annoyed.
Well, I'm going door to door from Dami. I don't know what that even means, but I hear the young kids saying it.
Yeah.
I want to be part of it.
I do the same thing. I just knock on a door and I just hand them some of my money. I'm like, here you are. Do you think, and this is not even a political thing, because like Curtis is being asked to drop out and he doesn't want to drop out. And I'm kind of annoyed at him, but I'm like, maybe I wouldn't either. Like if you were in a position like that where you dropping out would help somebody you didn't like, but other people thought was better, would you do it or no?
Well, Curtis is in the Curtis business.
That's right. You know what I mean?
So people voted for him. People are on the down ticket. I get him completely. Personally, I really like the guy. I think he's the only real New Yorker running. You know what I mean? Like he's a part of the city and everything about him makes me laugh.
The thing about Curtis, I think he's definitely the best. Like he is the realest guy. I mean, he's been shot in a cat. Like, I mean, he's
by Gotti.
Yeah.
Gotti shot him.
Yes, he did.
Which is, I mean, how much more New York can you get than that?
That really is. I mean, Ron is saying Gotti shot him. I don't know, John. You've never confirmed that with me. I'll make no assumptions. Ron, on the other hand, will say it's you.
Well, but he made the phone call. I don't think he actually shot him himself.
Do you think he made the phone call?
Yeah.
But Curtis, like, I don't know if he can win. So I'm like, that's the only reason. It's like just to be practical. But I do like him as far as. The cat thing is a little weird. I got to be honest.
He's got 19 cats.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And Trump actually said, you can't make it to mayor. You have too many cats. He literally said, you have too many cats, dude. This is not electable.
Yeah, 11 cats people can handle.
Yeah.
19 cats is a bit.
He's crazy. In a studio, too. He's in a studio apartment.
Yes, I've seen that.
With 19 cats.
And he wore his hat and he brought his cat to vote last. There's just some things that I'm like, what are you doing? What are you with the hat? We got it. Like, look. Yeah, you're right. Here he is. And again, he's a good man. I don't
think
Curtis is a bad man.
Yeah.
And he, you know, the guardian angels, for people that don't remember them, they... Yeah.
You don't want to let people know that you have
17 cats, Ron. Yeah. You made him look crazy. Please. You added two cats. See, that 17 cats is not bad. 19 cats, I would be like, what an ass. But 17 cats, all right, I'm with that.
Two of them died. Candy and Fluffy are both.
Oh, no, Candy and Fluffy.
They were run over by a bus.
With a Mamdani sign on it.
I can't get behind Cuomo, can you?
Compared to Mamdani, yes. I mean, there's the sexual stuff, which is kind of why I support him. I like a guy. I like a guy who swings his dick all over Albany and comes back for more.
This was his thing that he was saying to his staff. Who wants an Italian sausage? I mean, when people bring up, like, you know, the SA stuff, I'm like, he's Italian. It hasn't got to them yet.
That is true. Yeah. That's just his way.
That's his way. It's the way he was raised. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the stacking up old people's bodies and not telling anybody during the pandemic, that's not great.
Oh, see, we went in different directions. I was going to say strategically brilliant because they wind up taking up the lines moved faster. See, we have a different take on that. Yeah. And we talked before, too, when you came in because Taffy, I know when you did Sword Fight, we discussed Taffy a little bit.
Yes.
But my wife is already worried about when he's eventually going to die. I've gone through death of pets before, and it's kind of devastating. But you said you're going to hate it. Like, you don't get a dog because when he dies,
it's too much. It's too much. My daughter's dog Birdie just died recently, and you know she's got two little girls, and the whole thing has just been awful, just unbelievably bad. Yeah, the whole family's devastated, and it's crazy. Like, why can't we come up with like a dog that can last like 65 years? That's all you have.
That's right.
65. It's not much.
No, not at all. You get it when you're 10, when you're 75. Yeah. By the time you're 75, you kind of want anything around you to die that you've had for that long.
Right.
So you're like, all right, enough with this thing.
Even spouses. You're like, all right.
Especially spouses.
One of us has got
to
go.
Sure. Some of us feel that way when we're 57 after 3 years.
when you, like the way they've improved weed and you can't make stronger dogs that last to be 65.
That is true. They're concentrating on the wrong stuff.
Yeah.
Do you miss weed at all? Like, now that you walk down the street, I never thought you'd smell it in the streets.
Yeah, skunk. It's a different weed than we grew up with, but I never was a big fan. I like drugs. I didn't like marijuana. You know, kind of just, you just sit there kind of stupid.
Yeah.
I like actual drugs.
Hard drugs.
Yeah.
Coke.
Coke is great.
Yeah.
Any kind of morphine is great.
Did you do meth? I never did meth.
Oh, God, I did the fuck out of meth. I wish I didn't, man. It's a really bad thing. I did a lot of meth, smoked a lot of PCP.
I never did that one either. Angel does. I never did. I was always afraid to do PCP.
Well, it's a good fear, I guess, to have, but I didn't have that thing. I just wanted to feel different.
Yes.
But when I started to get, eventually, I kind of quit every drug at one time, but the guy that was helping me get sober, he goes, think of, write down any time that you turned down a drug, like somebody had pills or whatever, and I couldn't come up with one. I could not think of a time that I didn't go, well, this drug is going to make me feel better right now, you know? And I did speed and went to my grandfather's funeral. I was just speeding my fucking ass off. My brother wanted to kill me. But I just thought, you know, hey, some speed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Why not? Get you through the day. It'll move it along. Yeah. They tend to be slow.
There's no logic to it, but that doesn't mean that you don't keep doing it.
Did it make you grieve less? Like, were you at a funeral? You know, again, I've never been, like, fucked up at a funeral, I don't think.
Well, my whole family got fucked up for, like, real drunk for that occasion, but speed doesn't help. I'm going to be honest.
Right.
There's too many relatives, and you start talking their ears off.
And yeah, I guess, like, have you ever had that moment where you're talking, and I've had this even sober, where you're talking, and you go, oh, God, I'm babbling.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking.
Yes. When I'm on the radio, I think that all the time.
Just, I'm babbling. Like, it just hits you, like, oh, God, I'm saying nothing. Yeah. I'm annoying.
You really think there's going to be an end to the story where there's not.
That's right. There's no end to it, and there's no end in sight. There's not even a possible end to this light at the end of this tunnel. But you're so respected in radio, and you're so loved in radio. It's fun to hear that you have those thoughts, too. Like, I would never think that you would have those doubts.
No, I think everybody has doubts, and then you go through with it. It's the same way with stand-up. If I walk into a room and I see the crowd, I'm like, how's this supposed to work? Yeah. This is ridiculous. These assholes. You know what I mean? I think that every single time. And then I go up and I have fun.
You're always funny. And I'm so happy you're doing stand-up. I know at one point you didn't do it for a while. And I see you at the Cellar. I'm so happy when I walk in and you're on. I'm like, and Esty loves you.
Yeah.
Like, and she really enjoys what you do. And you're such a good comic. So are you not on the road much?
No, not at all.
Do you not want to be?
I mean, I really don't like travel. Right. You know, I mean, I think all the time. You know, I don't know how you do it with doing when you did radio and travel. It seems exhausting to me.
It was, and now that I'm not doing radio, I'm just on the road more.
Yeah,
but I'm okay with it. Like, it's funny. Like, I there's no difference in my life. Once in a while, I'll be like, "Fuck, I wish I was live today to talk about this." Like when Ozzy died, or even Ace Frehley. Like, there's a few things I would love to have. But, you know, there's enough outlets to talk. where right, I, get to, yeah. I get to say what I need to.
Well, that's what's changed everything, that you could just sit here like this
yeah.
and do it. You know, I remember when I was in Florida and we would, you know, do something to get fired and then you had to wait 6 months.
Yeah.
It was like, now what? What is my life?
What do I do? And not talking about things, not like watching like the news cycle pass you by and go, oh, I have a lot of shit to say about this. And right. there's nowhere to go.
Right.
At least now there is somewhere to go.
The funny thing is, like, you don't always have as much to say about it as you think.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're like, I don't know about this Charlie Kirk thing. I think there was more than, and then people are like, what? And I go, oh, I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You get a rush of emotion and a desire to be like there discussing, and like Charlie Kirk perfect. He said, oh my God, it was terrible. Well said.
Yeah.
Like where do you, like, you're right. A lot of times there's not as much thought as I think I have, but it's more emotion driving me to right. want to be there talking with everybody.
But that one, like, I never was a conspiracy guy,
right.
you know? And this one, I'm like, this isn't fucking right.
Oh, you are a little conspiracy with it.
Oh, no, I'm a lot.
Really?
I follow along and I'm going, when are they going to come in and straighten this out so I can lose some of these thoughts? And they don't.
The only thing I have a weird conspiracy with is the Epstein files not being blocked for release. That's really weird. Like, yeah. I don't understand that at all. Like you were the guys complaining that
right.
Biden wouldn't release them, and now you have them and you won't release. Like, there's something very strange.
That's the sad thing about conspiracies. We never get satisfied.
Right.
We're never like, oh, okay, straightened out.
Right.
Are you following this thing that's in space that's coming this way?
A 31A something. Yeah. Atlas.
Yeah.
31 Atlas or 13, 31 Atlas. Yes. Isn't today, well, just so people know, we're taping this on October the 30th. Isn't today the day supposed yeah. to be the, yeah. I think
holy shit, what's over top of the city right now? What is that?
It's a helicopter hitting a plane. I think Avi Loeb, I know, is that Harvard physicist
yeah.
who was, it was Onumonu or whatever the fuck that thing was called, the one that went through an accelerator.
I had him on the air.
You had Avi on?
Yeah, this was, I think, during the pandemic when
right.
that happened. So we Zoomed, and he was just like, well, this thing is probably either a piece of a, you know, and like, he didn't seem crazy.
Right.
But if this one doesn't come through, I guess he's fucking crazy.
He just wants to, like, once you're in that world, you almost want to be the guy who's there for the story, because everyone yeah. else is not.
Right. All of Twitter already says nothing happened. It didn't follow whatever he was predicting.
Yeah, yeah. No, it probably is just a comment. They gave reasons as to why there was a front tail and then the back tail. They said this is what it could have been. But I don't believe that it was a 3-mile mothership. Maybe it was something, if it was an alien technology, maybe they would learn how to move a natural object. But I didn't think it was a 3-mile mothership.
Here's what gets to me, is like, they go, okay, the FBI and CIA know about this and they're living underwater, but they don't want to tell people because we'll freak out. We won't.
But not at this point. We would.
There was nothing we were more prepared for on this planet than aliens. We've watched them in sci-fi for years.
Yep.
Look, even the pandemic, did people run in the streets screaming? No, they just said, okay, I'll ride this thing out.
Yeah, it sucked and we'll deal with it. But then the implication is, like, would it upend religions? All of these
who
religions.
Gives a fuck?
I mean, that's their thinking. I yeah. personally think it'd be a great thing if it did. But that's their thinking, is like all the religions would be turned upside down. And, you know, do you lose a certain control of a narrative when you realize, like, for real, we are not there's something else.
Look how many times the Hawaiians had to put up with this. You know, there's still a Hawaii, but they were sitting around, they had whatever religion, and suddenly boats show up with white people.
Yeah.
And they dealt.
Yeah, but we brought something at least. Like, you know, white people brought with us, you know, commerce and buildings and, you know, smallpox. Like, we brought...
blanket.
It's Hawaii. We're not hot. We're not cold. Good improv, idiot. I improv the wrong temperature. There's no, some things when you're riffing, there's no way to fix.
Yeah.
And when you're improvising, a blanket in a hot place, and you say it's cold, yeah. it just, you can't.
Let's just restart the show.
You just can't fix it. It's unfixable.
Yeah, it is unfixable.
There are some things you can kind of course correct as you're talking.
Right.
But when you land yeah. on the polar opposite temperature, it's an unfixable fucking rank amateur mistake. All right, we're live now, so this will be out soon. Call in. It's 213. I always fuck it up. 720-820-1337. And people usually call it, and I'll just turn this off as we're...
What do you...
as we're chatting.
What do you do with them? You answer questions, right?
If they have a question, a lot of times it's a comment.
Right.
But a lot of times it's actually... We had some like intense advice questions. And I did the advice show back in 2013, and I loved it. Like, I liked the live caller element, because, again, it's like radio. There's something about it that's...
Sure.
They throw something that you're not ready for, or that you didn't plan on talking about.
Sure.
Which I kind of like.
Just to go back to the alien guy, Avi's name?
Avi Loeb. Yeah.
I listened to the whole Rogan episode, and it was a lot of name dropping, and a lot of... He seemed excited by fame. I'll say that much.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the currency in this age. But, yeah, I mean, you've had all these boring science things your whole life. Now suddenly chicks are calling you.
That's a great point. What do you do for a living? I'm a physicist. If pussies just dry up all over the city. but if you're the UFO guy.
You're the UFO guy. They've seen you. They're like, this fucking guy is smart, but kind of hot in a weird, ugly kind of way, you know?
Yeah, that's a great point. The girls are finally...
Yeah.
Noticing where they didn't before. And again, I think it's wishful thinking on his part, even though he's a brilliant guy. Right. But you know what I think is wishful thinking? He's also, I love Ray Kurzweil, the guy for Singularity,
right,
who thinks that by 2045 we're going to have Singularity. I don't know. I think he's right, but just I think his time frame is off.
I think he's smart to put it out there in enough years. You know what I mean? You don't want to say it's going to happen by Wednesday.
That's right.
That's when you fuck up your predictions. You got to go way off.
That's right. So people, he'll be in his 90s. So if it's wrong, who cares?
Right. He'll just kill himself and that'll be the end. He's had a great life.
He won't even know. They'll be like, your prediction was wrong. And he'll just evacuate loudly into his diaper. Who will care? Won't matter.
The guys that come on and talk science, right? And everyone gives them all their credit. A lot of them are just like teachers or professors. Mm-hmm. You want a guy who's actually found something.
That's right.
You know? Who are the guys that talk? I know Brian Greene did it for a while. For some reason, he fell off.
Yes. There's also the British guy who's very good. I forget his name. I see clips of him.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like almost like a Dimitri Martin if he was a physicist and British.
I think he is. Dimitri.
You think he is? Yeah. That's just what Dimitri's been doing lately. He's doing gigs and he's just putting on a fake accent and fixing his hair. But you know who I mean, that guy?
Yeah.
I always watch the videos, though. Like, they're always interesting to me. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he has the ability to just explain things to idiots, which I kind of like.
But he didn't ever go, hey, look what I discovered.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
He's just like, well, what you don't understand is Pluto's here. And I go, you didn't come up with that, though.
He did not, no.
Yeah.
And I've called him on that several times.
Good.
I'm like, you don't know what... You've invented nothing. That's the first thing I said to him on the podcast. Well, our next guest has invented about as much as I had. Nothing.
you do what we won't do. Read. Yeah. Read and go through it.
But that is such an interesting ability to have. Like, I did... J.B. Smoove had a show, Dinner for Five.
Yeah.
And it was myself. It was Jerry Cooney. I think it was, like, Gilbert. Like, it was a really interesting panel, and Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he's just talking, and everyone shuts up. Like, you know how good a talker you have to be to shut the heavyweight boxer?
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to hear fighting stories. Yeah. And he's just the most interesting guy in the room.
Well, but it's not exactly a think tank that he put together.
You raise an excellent point. I did raise. I should have just said four dunces and Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I'm acting like, well, all these great minds and we listen to him.
You know, Cooney's got, his brain hasn't worked in a long time.
No, exactly. You say hello to him and he'll show you how to throw a left. He did show me how to throw a left, by the way.
Yeah, well, I miss him at Sirius.
Oh, he's not there anymore?
No, I haven't seen him since the pandemic. But he always did this bit. He'd go, how are you? Oh, yeah. Like you hurt his hand. You know, it was just hilarious.
He's a character.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to him one time, because he's a nice guy. He's an older guy in a sweater vest.
Yeah.
And he would talk about, like, guys in bars giving you a problem.
Right.
And they didn't know who he was. And he said he would always say to them, like, look, man, I'm not looking for any trouble. But if you're looking for trouble... You found it.
Yeah.
And I remember that. Like, that's got to be a real motherfucker to hear. You have to know that you've made a mistake.
Well, even if I didn't know who he is, I'm not walking up to anybody that size and giving them some shit. But do you ever meet Sugar Ray Leonard?
We interviewed him, and it was so, because this is where I love Anthony. He's so uncomfortable with any real emotion. We were talking, I forget what we were talking to him about. It was something about his family. And it was that moment where, like, he's getting very emotional. And he was going to cry. Like, he was getting into something. And then Anthony was just, you know, you know, childhood full of spaghetti on the wall. And he bailed him out.
Right. Because no tears.
Yeah, no, no.
It's the last thing you want to do during an interview is stop somebody from crying because everybody will remember that.
And it was also like an intense moment. Like he got into a real moment. I forget what it was, but it might have been something. His grandmother, it's 15 years ago. But it was very funny that Anthony was just, the real emotion. He just didn't want to, so he bailed him out.
I was at a spa and Sugar Ray was there working out. Like, but there was a ring, the whole thing. And I looked at him, and he had a pretty face, and he looked like he would have been like Michael Jackson's little brother. And I'm like, this is the exact guy that if we had a fender bender, I'd go after
That's
him.
That's right.
And I just shivered when I thought it. You know what I mean? Just shivered that you would make that kind of mistake.
I'm sure guys have made that mistake with, maybe not him because he's so famous, but with guys his size. Sure. Especially boxers, because MMA, you see cauliflower ear, people kind of know, all right, that guy can fight.
Right.
But a boxer doesn't usually have that. And Sugar Ray, I just saw a video of him throwing punches at somebody, might have been John Jones or somebody, just right. playful, and he's still lightning fast. Like,
dude, it would be like fighting 11 people if he fought you. You would have no idea how to block anything. No. The speed was unbelievable. And then also letting the other guy throw a punch, right?
Yeah.
You're like, I have no idea how that works.
I hate when they say fall always feels like a reset, but it really does. Things are heating up for the holidays. Not for me back to school, but my routine is busier. I'm on the road, shorter days, and I've gotten fat at one point. That's why I love Factor. I was using another meal prep company. These are chef prep, dietitian approved meals. They make it easier to kind of stay on track and keep your diet where you want it to be. And I honestly love these better. I'm not going to trash the other company, but I like Factor a lot better. The meals just taste fresher and there's a better variety than what I was used to. All right, here, more variety, more meals. Choose from a wider variety of weekly meal options. Premium seafood choices like shrimp and salmon. There's no extra cost. They should support you whatever your wellness goals are. Obviously me, I want to thin out and drop some weight. More CLP-1 friendly meals, new Mediterranean diet options, which are fantastic. Protein and good for you fats. Global flavors. For the first time, Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by Thailand, China, and more. They have such an amazing variety. And unless you've done other meal prep services where you go like, the varieties suck, you realize how good this is. I don't know if that's helping, but that's why I like Factor. For more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say Factor helped them live a healthier life. And I can tell you from experience, it's helping me eat healthier. It's easy to eat healthy when you like the food. Eating healthy sucks because you never like the food. These meals are delicious and fresh, so it's a lot easier to eat healthy. Personally, I feel a lot better when I'm eating healthier, and these meals are delicious. It's just easier to eat healthy because I like the food so much. So thank you guys very much. Eat smart at factormeals.com/Norton50off. N-O-R-T-O-N. Number 5, number 0, off. Norton50off. Use the code Norton50off. You get 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for a year. I mean, what are you doing? That's fantastic. That's code Norton50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. You get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. You ever wake up more tired than you are when you went to bed? That happened to me all the time. That was my whole life. I would wake up sore, tossing and turning, sweating through the sheets. I realized the mattress is a big part of the problem. Hating myself is also part of the problem. And knowing that I was naked and not looking good at all, a huge part of the problem. Mattress, major part of the problem as well. Ghostbed can help you fix that, the mattress part. They couldn't help with my self-esteem. Ghostbed's a family-run company. They're backed by more than 20 years of mattress-making expertise. Truly built a collection that actually works for how people actually sleep, because everyone's a little bit different, right? If your back's giving you trouble, their ProCore technology gives you extra support where your body's the heaviest, keeping your spine aligned so you wake up feeling a lot better. Are you a hot sleeper? I'm always a hot sleeper. The Ghost Bed Lux, which is the coolest bed in the world, which is the one that I rest my fat little head on, features patented cooling tech and a cool-to-the-touch cover. We have a Ghost Bed mattress, we have Ghost Bed sheets and Ghost Bed pillows, and I'm telling you, I put my head on and I just feel cool. Like, it's very comfortable. If you need help choosing, here's something to do for the holidays. GhostBed's online mattress quiz. They make it easy. You answer a few questions, and you can get a personalized recommendation in minutes. Or if you'd rather talk it out, their U.S.-based sleep experts can help by phone or live chat. They're U.S.-based sleep experts. That's who you want to talk to. Every GhostBed mattress, premium materials, 20 to 25-year guarantee, 101-night sleep trial. Make sure it's the right fit. Usually fast free shipping, usually 2 to 5 days. So you can be sleeping better by next week. Trust me, I really love the Ghost Bed, and I'm a terrible sleeper. So this thing has helped me so much. Right now during Ghost Bed's Black Friday sale, 25% off already reduced prices for a limited time. Ghostbed.com/Norton. Use the promo code Norton and check out. And upgrade your sleep with Ghost Bed, the makers of the coolest bed in the world. Some exclusions apply. See site for details. Thanks, Ghost Bed. I take Muay Thai 2 days a week. And when I very lightly, playfully spar with somebody. It's not even sparring. It's them helping me. Like, it's not a real spar. And I'm so fucking slow, and I'm so inept. And I'm like, how does anybody get out of the way of a punch? Like, if they were, if they weren't being merciful, I would just, it would be 30 shots to nothing. I had nothing.
I know.
It's really difficult.
And the funny thing is, like, street fighting is nothing like that. Street fighting is two guys, they throw a couple punches. I always, when I was a kid, I fought like a hockey player. I would just grab and swing the right. The left is just nothing but a hook for me to hang on to.
Just something to hold him with?
Yeah.
Could you fight?
Well, we did fight in my neighborhood. And that's the thing is, like, eventually you run into somebody who can really fight.
Yeah.
And I had a friend that I saw knock people out on the street, right? And I saw him fucking hit men, even though we were, like, teenagers. And I had a thing when I ran across Mike Tyson. I said, you know, I grew up with a guy that could knock you out if he caught you. And he was like, your friend was a boxer? And I'm like, no, just a guy in the neighborhood. Within like 30 seconds, I'm like, Mike, I didn't say I could knock you out. I'm saying Smitty, if he caught you correctly, could knock you out. But in no time at all, you're going to turn those guys, you know? Because I did that with Sugar Ray, too. I said, you're the kind, I wouldn't know that you could fight. And as soon as I said that, he just glared. Like, there's a thing inside, a hunger that we can't even understand.
Yeah, where they don't seem to. Do you ever see the video of Tyson? I think it was right after his daughter had passed away, and he was doing the interview, and the guy asked him a question, and it wasn't even a rude interview, but it just tapped into something, and Mike goes,
right,
you have to go now. Like, he was really upset, and it was just one of those real moments. Like, he knew that the guy
crossed the line with him,
or just hit an emotion. Like, I don't even know if the guy, because we've interviewed him quite a few times at one point, and he was always open to talk about everything.
Everything.
You know, his book was, it's the best biography I ever read.
Mm-hmm.
You ever read that? No. Undisputed? He does, is it Undisputed? I might be wrong about the name of the book, but he goes through everything, the Desiree Washington, and he covers everything, and you're like, yeah, I believe him.
Yeah.
Like, when he first went to jail, I'm like, nah, you know, he probably did it. And then, you know, I didn't know him.
Right.
And then years later, I heard him talk about it. I'm like, wow, I think he got fucked. I think he got railroaded.
I mean, I remember when he came onto the scene, and it was frightening. I never saw anything like that before or since, that he would take these guys and just take them out within one round.
What was it about him that this is, because I remember when he lost. I was at a sober dance, and my buddy Sean came in, and he was so happy Tyson lost. He's like, good, he fucking, like, that's how I found out he lost to Buster Douglas in Tokyo. It was a... I remember where I was when I heard that he first lost. What was it about him, you think, that people just latched on? Like, it's weird, because Larry Holmes was 48-0, but he didn't have that effect.
But Larry didn't destroy. Larry had a great jab. He could move. He wasn't a great talker. What was great about him is that he kept... I forget where Easton is where he's from.
Easton, Pennsylvania, yeah.
And he just kept buying things there. Like he would have the car wash. And like you can't think of investing anywhere outside if you can't see it from your house. So you just buy all these little businesses, you know. And he was so strange. But you know, Ali had that bigger than life thing and Joe Frazier didn't.
That's right.
You know? And then I remember when Ali beat Foreman. Foreman was like this really angry, surly, internal guy. And after he lost that, it was like devastating. And he went away for a while and he came back a happy guy. He had a totally different personality.
Something happened. Yeah, I think I want to say he fought Ron Lyle might have. I don't know if that was after
That's
Ali.
A good call, Ron Lyle.
That was a brutal fight. Yeah. And the final fight was not Jimmy Young. I thought Jimmy Young was a lighter weight, but whatever. He fought one more guy, and then I think that he, I don't know what happened to him, but he had this weird transformation. Maybe he got religion or he found God.
Yeah, it was just like he just decided to be somebody different. Next thing you know, he's selling hamburgers on TV with a fucking hot plate.
I guess it does change your attitude when you make $100 million on a hot plate.
Yeah, it was a ridiculous amount of money that he had. But and he just kept having kids. He was one of those guys. And then he named them all George.
It takes the pressure off remembering. I love that. Just pumping a load. Hey, you're George too. Are any of the daughters Georgette or Georgina? I thought there was one.
That I don't know.
I thought. Do you have any calls, by the way? Okay. People want to talk to. Sometimes we just chat and we forget to go to the phones.
I like to chat.
I do too. I enjoy a good chat.
Yeah, me too.
Have you had anybody good on the show lately? Any guests that you've been dying to get?
We had Annie Lennox from the Eurythmics.
How was she?
She was just great.
Yeah.
She's just great, man.
I've never met her.
You would like her a lot. You know what I mean? She's very, very passionate, very smart.
Yeah. It's always nice when you bring somebody in, they have something. There's nothing worse than a person plugging a project and they're like, you got to watch. I'm like, you know, this is a radio interview, you fucking shitbag. This is not a 6-minute GMA hit. All right. Hello. You're on the phone with Ron and Jim.
Holy shit. What's up, fucking kings of comedy?
All right, that's the appropriate attitude and a great opening line. You've won us. You've charmed us.
I know Ron's doing the sober thing. I got clean like 3 years ago now, but I do Suboxone. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, I mean, I don't try to judge anybody's sobriety. Do you, Jim? You just like everybody's doing their own thing.
That's the way we differ. I judge everyone's sobriety, and they all come up short. Get on your knees, boy. No, I. Suboxone is for what drug is that for? What is Suboxone the substitute for?
It's for opiate.
All right, but do you get high from it?
No.
Okay.
Wasn't the most convincing no I've
ever
heard.
No. I mean, what opiates were you doing?
Can't do any of them anymore.
No, but what were you doing before you got sober?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah. It's that wasn't your thing, huh, Jimmy?
Opiates, no. Pills, alcohol made me very sick, but no, pills I never really had access to.
You got sober really young.
18.
18, Jesus. Yeah. You never sat at a bar. You never bellied up to a bar in your life.
No, I got served once or twice in a bar in New Brunswick, but no, never. I was just, I was a cutter, Ron.
Were you really?
I was a little, my ex-girlfriend told me I was an emo lesbian growing up. I was a cutter. I was a fucking very sad boy. Yeah, just.
You know. What's the release there that you get from cutting?
It's a good question, too. It's like, there's tangible evidence of something. It's like you feel so shitty and you don't know how to put it into words and you don't know how to, but when you're bleeding, you're like, there's a tangible explanation for what I'm feeling.
Do you ever get the urge now to do it every once in a while?
Not to cut, no. Yeah. I look at a rope though and I'm like, that wouldn't itch my neck too much. Yeah. Once in a while I look at the rope and the stool.
Right.
And I'm like, that's a fine double purchase.
Could you tie a good enough knot, though? I mean, that's a...
Well, I haven't been able to yet, Ron.
There's a lot of work to that one.
You're right. There was an incident. You know, you wake up on the floor and you're like, that broke.
The thing about opiates is, and this is like, you go, oh my God, this is the way I was supposed to feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This is the way I was supposed to feel, and everyone should feel this. So that's the right away fuck with your head
right
that you get, you know. And it's a lot of people will think is like laying in Jesus' cum. I don't know. But it makes sense to you, right, man?
Oh,
yeah,
God.
You know what I'm talking about. But you never lose the urge to drink again?
No, the urge I have occasionally is for pot because the smell will hit me, and I don't have the horrible memories with that that I do. Alcohol, I know is, like, I can't even fantasize. I know where that would be immediately. I'd be on stage. You fucker. Like, I was like that annoying.
Angry guy.
Yeah. But occasionally, pot is the one that gets
me. People were always trying to tell you, oh, it's different now. You know, it's just a body high. You know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm the same way as you. I go, I can feel the slide. I know what you're saying, but I can feel the slide.
Yeah. It might be different, but I'm the same. Like, you know, if I can't stop jerking off on Pornhub, what makes me think I'm going to stop a fun new drug?
Right.
I'm not going to be able to stop.
Have you ever said to yourself, I'm done watching porn? That's it?
Yes. Yes. It's soon as I'm duck walking with a sock in my hand,
right,
fucking hollowing out my belly button. I'm like, no more. But once you're back to earth and you're like, I'm done.
Right.
And then the next day.
It's so it's a very different experience than growing up the way we did, where there wasn't a porn hub.
That's right.
In your house. So you feel differently after it. You know, you're like, I hope this is all right. Are they checking with everybody? you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does this woman want to be there? But and now the newest one is gambling. And Chris Stanley, Chris Stanley said to me today, the planet is now a casino.
Yeah.
He gambles. And I've never had the gambling urge. And what happened to me is when I was a kid, I was a carny. And I went.
Wait, really?
Yeah, my family were carny. So like about, I don't know, 11, 12, I'd go out and spend weeks with my brother on the road. And I saw the way the carnies laughed at the guys playing games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're playing a game and they can't win, and they would just put money down. And I'm like, oh, I never want to end up on that side of it, you know?
Do you know my only gambling experience, and maybe I'll blow $200 in a weekend on video poker once in a while.
Right.
But I remember one time, and I've told this story before, but I was just walking through a casino, and it was like the wheel you spin has a 1, a 5, a 10, and a 20. Yeah. And I put a dollar down, and it hit the 20. So I won $20. But my first thought was, I should have fucking put 20 down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's exactly what this is.
That's the thing,
I'll never get over that. I'll always have that thing. So I'm never going to be happy. I'm always going to lose.
Well, I never feel as, because I have gambled before, but I never feel good when I win the way I feel bad. Because I feel more ripped off or stupid when I lose. And again, it goes back to that thing. I'm a mark on the midway. Might as well have a fucking balloon and some cotton candy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Other jewelers, they hate Steven Singer. Why? Is it because he pulls his penis out? Yes, that's part of it. But more importantly, Steven Singer has the best real natural diamond stud earrings in America. I tell that to people. They're like, the guy pulls his penis out. I'm like, so what? He's got great jewelry. Everybody knows gold and diamond prices. They're absolutely crazy right now. Gold's at the highest price in history. Lucky for you, Steven Singer has locked in his diamond studs at the old prices. Steven has diamond studs available from a quarter carat all the way up to 10 carat. Wow, 10 carats total weight. All at the same perfect price as last year. Steven doesn't do that thing where he jacks up the price just to pretend to lower them. He doesn't fuck around with the prices. He's an honest guy. His jewelry is really great. He's not looking to rip you off. He's looking to make a customer for life. And I know that sounds like I'm really selling it, but I've been a customer and a friend of Steven for 20 years now, or maybe a little bit more. No better time to get a pair of diamond stud earrings from Steven Singer Jewelers. This is not going to last forever. I mean, the man is a saint, but he can't be a saint forever with prices. 10 minutes after he pulls his dick out. each pair is eye flawless and near colorless. They come with his safety silicone backs, so you never have to worry about losing them. And with his unbeatable full value lifetime trade-in, you know your diamonds are always worth what you paid. and backed by the best guarantee in the jewelry business. A full 100-day, 100% no hassle money-back guarantee. Fast and free shipping. Experience the difference at Steven Singer Jewelers. It's IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Thanks a bunch, Steven. I was, and you brought up something too before, like on the screen, which I wanted to ask you about, was like, when is your legacy enough? Like Coppola, they said lost like how much, 100 and something?
175 million.
On a project, Megalopolis, which I didn't see, and I kind of, I want to see it to support him because I love him so much. But after a while, you're like, if nobody wants to make this, like when do you let it go and go, or this is just not meant to be? Now he's got to sell his watches to cover himself.
It does feel like movies are going away, though. It's like an older person's format.
Maybe. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt of it, there is. But, you know, in the case of him, when's the last time he made a, like a great movie? It's a long time.
I think so, too. Like, I mean, there was, I mean, obviously, all three Godfathers, the first two are great. Rumblefish. Did he do the Outsiders?
He did the Outsiders. Okay. But before that, too, The Conversation.
Oh, is Duvall.
Fucking amazing movie.
Yeah. Is John Cazale in that? Yes. Duvall, Talia Shire.
Cazale had that run of five movies, all of them nominated or won Best Picture. It's crazy.
It's probably, both Godfathers, Conversation, Deer Hunter, and Dog Day Afternoon.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, five really good.
Maybe five of my favorite movies.
I was in Furry Vengeance.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm saving it.
It's really good. Yeah. It's something that if you have like a couple hours and you really want to have fun, watch that. Put on your laughing hat. These are all Coppola movies? I mean, when's the last time? You're right. Apocalypse Now was 1980.
Yeah. It seemed like even after a while, he started making movies that other people could have made. You know what I mean? Like, I like when you make a movie that only you could do.
Yeah.
And when Spielberg started to go, okay, they're making fun of me for making these Spielberg movies, I'll do other shit. I'm like, you fucked up, dude. You know what I mean?
What was the one he did, which I think was a passion project, The Friedmans? That was the
Fablemans.
The Fablemans.
Yeah.
And he shot it in some weird, whatever his decision was to shoot it, like almost like a play with high colors. And I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. I didn't like the way he was thinking about his mom. You know what I mean?
That's the only part I did like. Mom looks like she threw a good fuck. God bless you. Good for him.
There was even a scene where, like, you could see her panties when she was like dancing in front of a car, and he was looking at the guy who was fucking his mom behind his dad's back.
That's right.
And I'm like, Steve, what's going on, bro?
Yeah.
What do you need?
Did that do something? Yeah. Maybe you had a little stirring in his pants. From mommy shit being dirty.
Shit that happens to you when you're a little kid, man, it's hard to shake. That's where kinks are born.
Yeah, you know, it's like foot fetishes. I always think it's like looking at the teacher dangling her shoe. It's the weird stuff,
right?
And you make a connection to it. Are you a fetish? Do you have any fetishes? I mean, I have a few.
I mean, I would say not physical fetishes. I don't mind going to fantasy places.
Right.
You know, but I'm a no props guy.
Oh.
You know, just like with comedy. I feel like you wrote, you know, let's get our imagination there, you know. I'll come in through the window, knife in my hand. You know, I'll swing in. I'm wearing an ice mask. I'll just do the whole thing. But I don't want to get carried away. Like, if tying people up, if I looked up when I woke up for work one day and there's hooks on my ceiling, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?
It is weird. The props that are always there.
Yeah.
Like if you have a fuck swing and you're like, oh Christ, I got the flu, I got a shit, and there's a fuck swing.
It's true. You don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it when you're not feeling dirty. Yeah, but the stuff of the childhood, we had on, who did we talk to recently? I just had on, was it Todd Barry? Was it who was talking about? Oh, Paul Verzey was talking about the eye therapy. I want to try that. Where there's not ayahuasca. It's where they track your eye movements or something.
Right.
There's no drugs, but it's supposed to like put trauma in the right place in your brain.
Yeah, they move it. There's a click to it. There's like some kind of little laser thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But what the fuck is wrong with Verzey? He seemed like he's a happy-go-lucky guy. I just saw him today.
I know. He's just the fact that he's always in a road rage incident. You know, he's Paul is literally a guy getting shot waiting to happen because he'll jump out of the car with the wrong person.
Right.
And not realize they have a fucking pistol. So I'm happy he's doing it because he's a really great guy.
Great guy. Great comic, too.
Really funny. Great rage. He has a lot of rage in there.
He's one of those guys, like, his act could have worked in, like, any decade. You know, he could have been a 50s comic. Yep. He could have been a 60s. And you see a lot of people, and you're like, okay, that's right there. Or people from the 80s, you're like, that worked great then. And then burn out on people.
The style of it. Yes. Because apparently, like that was great in 1987. But now it feels weird and dated.
It's really weird when you see people that people refer to as hacks or whatever. And you're like, I've seen them tear up places.
It's like you have no idea what he used to do.
Yeah.
And even hacks, I have a certain amount of, if a guy is a hack because he's becoming, but some guys have just been doing stuff before it was even hacky.
Right.
But they just unfortunately don't write.
Right.
I'm going to die with my airplane food bit. I'm so proud of it, Ron. It's never as good as it is on the ground.
But that's true. You should just do airline jokes in the air. Have you ever been on the air and you're watching a comedy and you're just fucking losing your shit? And you're like, you're telling people, you got to see this movie. You know, and it's not that good.
No. The only thing, because I don't watch comedies.
Yeah.
The only time I watched a comedy was Gervais's The Ghost movie that Bob Kelly was in.
Yeah.
And literally that movie got to me and I just started crying on the plane. I was so humiliated. I put my sunglasses on. I'm like, I can't watch movies on a plane.
People, you're 100% right. People will cry hard on a movie. But I remember once we're flying out and King of Queens. We're just watching King of Queens. This was back when the whole thing, the whole place had to watch something. And me and a guy high-fived each other over a King of Queens episode. I'm like, this is fucking fantastic. And I've never lost my love for King of Queens because of that episode.
It just made you realize you were living the life. You're laughing. You're having a good time. Right. With TV and the fucking, we're on a plane. What a great life we have.
It is. It is true. If you settle down every once in a while and go, we didn't used to be. Like, just like, I remember like my grandmother, my great grandmother was like sitting there trying to talk about air conditioning when I was a kid. Like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, all right. You know what I mean? But yes, it's unfucking believable.
It's I had this conversation with my wife 2 days ago. Is our big flat screen TV. I'm like, you don't understand. When they said, you're going to hang a TV on the wall, I'm like, oh, fuck yourself. No, you're not. And this was 20 years ago, where I bought the giant fucking, the rolling one, you know, the giant flat screen that you had to roll. It was like, you know, 10 feet by 6 feet.
I remember I had, I think we called it a big screen TV. In the back of it, you had like 3 feet of room. You had to put it in a corner.
That's right.
And we were like, look at us. We got a big screen TV. Everything's going great, honey. And you look at it now and you're like, and then remember they even start to call things like flat screens, where now you just call it a TV.
It's just TV.
If you said flat screen, it's like saying smartphone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like just where's your TV? It's hanging on the wall.
Have you guys seen the next technology they're trying to push on us?
What's this?
Oh, they created a woman.
For $500 a month, you can have this robot do whatever you want in your house.
That's all?
Who owns it?
How fast does the right arm go?
Some new startup. What's weird about it is the robots aren't working internally. Somebody's wearing a VR operating
them remotely. Oh, fuck. Bring that guy over the house.
That's
not a robot.
So you buy the robot that lives in your property, and somebody's operating it out of their workplace.
You got some guy in India wearing a fucking suit and he's moving his head. That's why, look how hard it is for the guy to figure this out.
Robot stinks. The fucking Lost in Space robot was more coordinated than this douchebag. Close the door. He's trying to close a dishwasher. Nice job, shit dick. And the robot walks away. Oh, this robot stinks.
And it's awful. I'd end up throwing hot coffee in the robot's face.
That would be great to fucking, what was the movie where they broke the coffee pot on the head? In The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
When he offers them a sandwich and there's nothing I think I've ever enjoyed more than watching a coffee pot be broken across somebody's head. My God, that must have felt good to film that. We have another call?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the $20,000, you have to buy the robot and then the $500 a month is for?
I think it's a payment plan, $500 a month.
Oh, fuck. That robot stinks.
I know. I don't even want to deal with a boat. Fuck this thing.
I don't like its eyes. Oh, I hate that there's another person looking.
Yeah, right?
That defeats the purpose.
Yeah, look, this is how they control it.
Where's the strap on for this thing?
Oh, I hate it.
Oh, I fucking hate the future. It fucking sucks balls.
I know, but I don't like that they keep showing the mechanical necks. Like, some of these are pretty realistic. Make the neck, put a fucking turtleneck on that thing. You're starting to make it look realistic.
Why are we all looking forward to living in a Will Smith movie? It never works the fuck out.
No, it does not. I think it's also just the idea of, like, part of it, like, there's an idea of, like, having your own worker. I don't want to say slave, but
it's slave.
It's slave to do what you want it to do and not feel guilty about it. Like, when I talk to ChatGPT, I use it. It's great for certain things.
Yeah.
I find myself saying, could you please, or would you, or like, hey, what's the distance between this city and that city? Show me this city, please. I'm like, I'm politely talking to a fucking, to a machine. That's really a strange psychology.
And then people online said if you say please or thank you, it actually burns more water than just not saying it. So it's actively more harmful to be polite to the robot.
Oh, because of all this environmental... Oh, I don't give a fuck. Now I'm going to say, might I and may I. The faster I can burn this shithole down, the happier I am.
But you know how you say, like, it's like owning a slave but not feeling guilty?
Yeah.
You know who never felt guilty was slave owners.
That's a great point,
No slave owner ever thought they were doing a bad move.
I really am acting like they woke up with a moral dilemma every day when they loved it. Their only dilemma was, how many more of these can I get? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right. As soon as they're having a baby, you're taking it and selling it on eBay.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was acting like they were all just moral men who had a bit of a conundrum. Fucking idiot. All right.
I just don't understand how much convenience people need, especially when we all aren't going to have jobs.
True.
Yeah, the creative place, because they're doing like AI podcasts. Are they doing them now, or they're talking about them?
They're crushing. They're doing really good, too.
Are they?
Yeah, they're pushing the humans out, and it's because they're so much better. You know, they're funnier, they're faster.
Yeah, sharper.
Everybody's having a good time.
Better points.
They're getting other AIs on and interviewing them.
That will eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, when they first, Sean Penn said to somebody, because they're taking like people's, they want to make, like, capture your images and make films with you eventually.
Right.
And Sean Penn said to the guy, well, how about would you like it if we took images of captured your daughter and we put her in a movie getting gangbanged? Like, that's how we feel.
Yeah.
I mean, my answer would be sure. But I mean, I don't have kids, so maybe I just don't understand the relationship.
I think you do. I think you got it. I think you got the same exact thing. But yeah, I did this thing where I brought comics in and we played clips, right? And then the AI fucking would say, correct them and what they did wrong, and turn around, and I had three comics screaming at the fucking AI. I mean, they were furious.
Oh, angry.
Yeah, it was one of the funnest days of my life because it made no sense.
Who were the comics?
I got to get the list of it because my fucking brain doesn't work anymore.
No, you're busy. It's day to day, in and out.
No, no. I mean, I'm going to wander out of here like Mr. Magoo.
So they were. It was correcting their material?
Yeah, it was like saying what worked and what didn't work, and then here's what you should do. And it would give you like these awful tags, you know, and it just keep going.
I used to have it roast my guests. I just got away from it and forgot to do it. Like, write a roast joke just to see how bad they were.
Right.
But eventually they started getting decent, like well-written, you know. But it's always just, it's just mining the internet. There's no real lived experience. So I think it can only do so much creatively.
Yeah. You don't think that they'll be able to write hysterical material? Write a sitcom maybe?
Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, I'm sure that they probably will be able to very soon, actually.
Because if you think about a sitcom, the number of jokes that have to go into that and then still tell a story.
Yeah.
It's fucking mind blowing.
Yeah, it's that's what, most of them don't come out good, though. Like most of them, when they're good, they stand out. But when you watch a bad one, you're like, oh, my God.
But that's why you have to be so talented to write those things.
To go from beginning, is this AI?
I've been seeing people release AI episodes of Friends where they've stolen the Friends people and written their own AI scripts.
Are they good or? I mean, are they meant to be sarcastic?
I just think it's meant to troll.
There's one going around on Instagram. It's the Queen of England talking with a Jamaican accent. I cannot stop watching it. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I know. I saw Martin Luther King doing stand up and I'm like, I know this is wrong. I know I'm killing, you know, the future. But again, you know, the past is better than the future.
I guess so. Or I guess we, I don't know. Maybe because the past is something we know, and the future we know we're not going to see. I wonder if that's why when people get older, we lose interest in young people because they have such great shit coming, and you don't want to see all the stuff you're going to miss. Like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Immortality?
I mean, when I look at this, I'd love to miss immortality.
Would you really?
Fuck yeah. I mean, I feel like a long time ago I've been done. You know, I could have... I remember, like, thinking, I lived a great life a long time ago. And it was 9/11, and I was running around getting my kids. And I'm, like, doing that little thing in my head. And I was like, look... Just, I want my kids to be safe. I've had a great life. And I went, fuck yeah, I have. You know what I mean? I did a lot of stuff. So yeah, I don't want to just keep getting older and hanging around.
But it would, if you're not getting older, like if we're not breaking down physically and if you can keep being creative, the problem is everything's getting more and more punishment for what you say. Like that was, you kind of have to deal with that too. Like, and believe me, 80 years from now, if you're living, they'd go back and grab everything you said. You'd have to be punished for it. Like,
what do you think the thing like now that's going to be offensive? I think people in the future are going to look at fat jokes like it was the worst thing that ever happened.
Yeah, like
it's going to be like a race joke.
Yeah, you know, I don't know because no one ever like black put their in the airline seat next to you. Ruined your flight because they were black. It's only because somebody's overweight that they ruin your flight.
See, this is the thing they're going to grab.
They might. They can have it.
That's the bit. It makes sense to me and you.
Yeah.
But in the future, they're like, how dare he?
I'd like you to know I'm willing to die on that hill. that it should. You should be, you know, if you're a little out of shape. Like, but I mean, like, if you're morbidly obese where you can't, you should be criticized. I mean, I hate the way I look. I was so tired Monday in the gym. Doing jujitsu, I'm like, you fat fuck. I was so mad at myself. It's no one's fault but mine.
So you're saying, like, the people that are 600 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to get anyone because they're obviously, they're too lazy to fucking to do anything. They're not going to get a movement started.
Well, it won't be them. It'll be other people that see it as empathy. Like, if you really notice.
Cookie companies.
A lot. Cookie company, the Oreo people. But like you, like the stuff that is bad in the future, like people didn't know in the past. You know what I mean? Like I remember there was Italian joke books that a kid could buy, Polish joke books. We thought they were hilarious.
Were they? Was her name Blanche Knott, the woman that used to write? There was a couple of people used to write those truly offensive jokes, and they were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, when you're a kid and you get a hold of one of those. If you have a Polish friend, you're like, my life is fucking great.
Yeah, get in here. It's going to be a long day. Just reading jokes out of the joke book. Some girl I used to have a crush on named Sandy. We used to talk on the phone, and I would just read her jokes out of the joke book. And when she would laugh, I'd be like, oh, that's probably what got me wanted to do stand-up, really.
Right.
Was making this girl laugh on the phone.
Yeah.
Be like, this is fucking awesome. She never fucked me, of course, but I was too young.
And you also used that book for the first 10 years of your stand-up.
I still go to it. I just take out anything mildly offensive. I just remember one Jewish joke. And it wasn't even a great joke, but there was it was the Jewish section, and one of them said, "To hell with the expense," said Mr. Friedman. "Give the parakeet another seed."
It's literally a great joke.
It's just so rotten. It's made me laugh. I guess that was 51 years ago. I heard that when I was six.
I remember reading one, and then we'll go to
the phone. No, I don't care about the phone.
So I remember reading one. What do you call an Italian virgin? And the punchline was faster than her brothers. And I told that to every Italian girl that I know.
It really, and some of them could translate to any nationality. Like you could use that with Puerto Ricans or Irish, or it didn't matter. Like some of them were really race and religion specific, and some of them translated.
Well, when I went to Canada in the carnival when I was 17, the kids were telling me Newfoundland jokes, right?
Newfies, yeah.
And I'm like, that's a you mean Polish.
Right.
I don't know where the fuck Newfoundland. These are Polish jokes. They just moved them over to the Newfies.
That's right. Is that offensive, Newfies? Sometimes you'll say an expression from another country you don't know. But I just, I remember they were the ones who would get the Polish jokes in Canada. How old were you when you were on the road? I don't think I ever knew that about you,
What, being a carny?
Yeah.
Well, that one I did on my own, but it's driving you crazy. I dropped a cap. It's driving you insane. Yeah, 17, I was out there on my own, but when I was younger, I'd be with my older brother and stuff.
Were you getting laid at that age or no?
Well, 17, yeah. But not at 12. That would have been,
you know, that would have been awesome. Yeah. Well, it depended on how old the person was. Like, Anthony's 13, and he fucked the older lady, but if you were 12 and they were 47, like, all right. And it was a gentleman.
So you were setting up games, or was there a freak show?
The freak show thing had already bypassed, but I'd be like, spin and win, whatever, stop songs are what you get. Bear dog every time. You spin it, you win it, and you bring people in. And even when I was a little kid, there's a thing. I mean, there's no way to ever find this. But there was like a setup of a TV station there, right? And then my grandmother gave me all these like stuffed dogs and shit to walk down the midway. Just keep walking past the guy. And he goes, where did you win those? And I go, oh, right over here. It's fucking, this is the best game on the whole thing.
Oh, that's so smart.
Yeah. And that angle, you know, has always stayed with me about putting stuff over. And, you know, there would be, you know, wrestling came out of the carny, all kinds of shit came out of the carny. It's just about entertaining people while you take their money.
Yeah.
You know, which is show business.
It really is. Do you ever see the movie Carny? Well, sure you did.
Yes.
With Gary Busey and Robbie Robertson.
I talked to Robbie about it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jodie Foster was in that?
Young Jodie Foster, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's one of those things, you ever see a stand-up movie, you're like, it's not fucking...
Right, right.
You know, well, that's how I feel about watching that movie.
Oh, yeah, you know the behind that. I just love Gary Busey being the dunk clown. Yeah, I mean, he was so good in that.
Yeah, I've known guys like that, too, that could just do that gig and piss people off. It's like being a heel in wrestling. You know, they just get on people and then they think it's they're winning while you're knocking you into a dunk tank, but you're fucking spending money.
You're spending a lot of money and you're getting a guy wet, and that's his job, is to get wet. He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck.
It's gotta suck in like November though. When it's a little cold out, that's gotta suck.
Yeah, it gets bad.
It does for those guys.
Bad. Yeah. But a lot of them take the winners off. All right, I'm keeping you.
No, I don't care about that. What is the what is the most winnable game?
There isn't one.
There is not one. Yeah.
And it's not even that they're rigged, it's just the way that the thing is built. You're not gonna get it. So, you know, like if you're throwing the softballs into the basket,
yeah.
There's kind of a spring back there or a couple of bottle caps, things that are. And we had half a wheel, and on the two corners you win this giant dog, right? And then you go, you know, there's all different dogs in between, and you can't, because of the rubber bands that you bounce off, it'll never stop at that last place. And most of the time it stops and you reach underneath and you pull out this little dog, we used to call it a Gigi, and fucking hand it over, you know. And you know, you do a, hey, feed it some sawdust and milk, it's going to be just like this. Yeah. And because, and they would go, that's not even on the wall. And you go, yeah, right there. There it is. The one little tiny thing. But I remember saying to my grandmother, she was telling me how cheap she got these things, right? So I go, you know, it was like $5 for a thousand or something. And I go, why don't you just sell them? She goes, who would fucking buy this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to trick them into it.
If they win it doing something, it's the challenge of winning it.
Yeah.
Like the only game I can think of, the thing that I've tried, and it's the fucking rings on the bottle. Like, it's just an impossibility. I don't think I've ever gotten one on.
Yeah, there's an impossibility to a lot of those games. But the thing is, too, is like, the world has changed where it's not the same kind of stuff anymore because people can do other things. But you used to go into these farm towns, right? And like people would wait and save their money because the carnival's coming in the summer. And then the young girls would be able to fuck somebody who didn't live in their little town, right? And then you'd have to deal with the guys who've been trying for 8 years to fuck them, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just like, good, somebody from outside kind of have an interest in sucking a dick. Maybe this is the guy I could try for. He'll be gone in a week.
Yeah, it's like Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves by Cher.
Yes.
That's, it's like, you know, the fucking, you roll into town and right. You fuck the guy and then you just go into the next.
Yeah.
But I'm sure the guys were, did guys ever follow the carnival to see who had fucked their girl? Was there ever a problem?
Oh, yeah. There's going to be problems. But there's also guys on the carnival that are kind of like bouncers, and they'll look out if anyone's starting any shit. And there's some scary guys. And the ride boys are real fucking scary.
What are those?
Those are the guys that put those things together and take them down. They're all like, you know, like rough kids. And
they don't drink, do they?
No, they drink while they're putting this shit together. I will tell you the truth. I never got on the fucking zipper after seeing them, all those kind
really?
Of like being put together. I saw some guys that are putting this thing together, and they got this, they're done, and they got this one long bar. And they're like, yeah, they just chuck it in the truck. And I'm like, oh, fuck, you know?
It's a fascinating world, because I remember going as a kid, and I never got caught up in it, but I just, when you hear all the shit that goes on behind it, I think of the elephant, I want to think of the carnival for some reason, that movie where he was the sideshow freak. I guess, you know, that those days are gone. You can't pull that off anymore.
Yeah, they stopped. I mean, there used to be slight, like, you know, supposedly two-headed dogs and a thing and all that. But I wasn't around for the bearded lady and all that kind of shit. You know, they decided, you know, they literally put up laws against it because a lot of people were just special needs.
Yeah, they're just being thrown. Yeah, go sit on that hay. We're going to charge people to look at you.
Yeah, they would bring out two midgets and say they were from an African tribe. And the guys were just sitting there smoking.
Yeah, two guys from Cleveland. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
But a lot of those people were like on the outside of society too. Like they were off the grid. Who knows what they did somewhere? You know,
I was gonna say it's a weird life. I was gonna say it's a weird, like you're going from place to place, getting attached to nobody.
Right. Well, there's a town where a lot of circus people and some carny people go down in Florida and spend the winter. And
of course, it's Florida.
There's a lot of people. There was a guy named Lobster Boy because his fucking hands were put together. I think he killed his wife or some crazy
really?
Thing. Yeah.
Oh, she spilled butter on him.
See, that one day that'll be offensive. Yeah. Or probably today.
Yeah. Well, people with hands like that probably can't tweet very effectively. So. Clip, clap, clap.
I used to be a big fan of yours.
Now, was there a town that wouldn't have the carnival or reject it?
Yeah, I'm sure there were. I was too much of a kid to know that, you know what I mean, of places that didn't want them to come in. But, you know, we still have state fairs, and they're kind of the same people running those things. And even the boardwalk down in Jersey has, you can't win those games.
No. I think that's where I went, actually. That was like boardwalk type shit. When did you finally stop doing it and why?
I ran into a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
With some local girls and
did you really?
Marijuana, yeah. And what I decided to do is rather than show up for court is to head for the border instead.
Oh, that's right.
So Canada. It was a lot of years that I didn't go back to Canada. And you know, now marijuana is fucking legal, so nobody.
Right.
And even then they probably said that where's that stupid kid?
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone. You know what I mean? But I'd already been in trouble in Philly. I was on this kid's kind of thing that, you know, I had to stay clean for like 6 months or a year or whatever. And it was in that pocket. So I was worried that that was going to get back to Philadelphia.
So, but you can go into Canada now.
Yeah.
That sucks, though, when you're... Back then, it was a little easier just to get over. It's like when Cuckoo's Nest, when they just wanted to fucking get into Canada.
Everybody wants to go to Canada.
But there's less of a... Again, everything wasn't computer-tracked back then. So if you had a little issue, you know, all right.
Right. It's not like Canada wants the criminals
right
to come there. But, yeah, that was always the thing.
Going to Canada.
Yeah, Cuckoo's Nest. And, then, I mean, even then, did they think it out that, you know, I don't think they were going to go through...
Security?
Yeah.
No, McMurphy didn't have a passport, chief. How you gonna bring that fucking lump across the fucking border? You know?
Wait a minute. How'd you flee? Like hitchhiking?
Yeah, I hitchhiked down to Halifax, and my dad bought me a plane ticket, and I was, you know, out of there before the court date. It was, you know, looking back, you know, it was like one of those things where you don't stand up and, you know, be counted. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Do you think you would have gotten in trouble or it would have been kind of a slap on
the
wrist?
No idea. Because like I said, I was a little nervous because I got busted selling drugs in Philly at 16. And, you know, that was a major thing where I had to go into court with fucking, you know, the whole fucking nine yards. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to test anything.
Yeah, you don't know if they're going to match this with this and go, this guy's a problem.
And like I said, I just don't take responsibility. No matter what. It's just not in me. You know what I mean?
Who wants to sit around waiting for court? Fucking Canada. It's getting colder every day. Yeah, you're better off. I'm on your side. Do we have anybody on the phone who wants to get advice from
bad.
Two people who, for what?
Push this guy off.
I don't care. Yeah. Make him wait.
Hi. How's it going?
Hey, buddy.
Big fan.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering, you were talking about Suboxone earlier?
Yeah.
Was that like a, is that like a pill that like Mike Tyson would take?
I fucking thought the same thing.
Suboxone.
Yeah. Hey, you fucking is so much watches on me. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Home run. Great.
Thanks for holding.
Thank you very much for holding. That was well worth the wait.
Yeah, it was great.
That was fucking worth it.
Yeah. I'm glad for you.
Yep.
Celebrate it. Celebrate it.
Yeah. Enjoy it, man, because I'm with you. It's so far the highlight of the episode for me is hearing
far.
You. All right. Sure.
You're going to make the best of.
Is there another person who wants to talk about something?
Hey, man. Check your email, buddy. I sent you the ShopRite Bear.
We got this call a few weeks ago. He's a guy, he's a fan, and we've been talking about ShopRite a little bit and the ShopRite Bear, and he promised that he sent me a photo of the ShopRite Bear he had when he was a kid. But sir, but we don't release these every day, Mr. Showbiz.
Jim, you got to help me out, man. Check it out.
Hold on.
I'll send it to your Gmail account.
Okay, I'll check, but here's the amazing story. Is that he had a ShopRite Bear, and tell me if I'm underselling this. He had a ShopRite Bear as a kid, and then tell him when you got another one?
Yeah, so my mom went back to New Jersey like maybe 5 years ago and got a brand new one as a joke and brought it back. And I guess it surprised everybody that I still have the old one.
I mean, it's like we're trying to figure out how to make 8 episodes out of this.
Yeah, two ShopRite Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One from then and one from now.
One from then, one was like time travel.
Compare and contrast. Thanks again for following up. I promise I'll dig into that email soon. I've been trying to, again, save it for the holidays.
Yeah.
So I have something to do when I'm at my parents' house. Thank you very much for following up. God bless.
Wait, come on now. That was funny, right?
What? What, sir?
The ShopRite Bear.
I didn't see it, but I mean, I'm holding off on it, but I will see it.
Just thinking about it is funny, right?
Yeah, just thinking about the ShopRite Bear, and you used to have one, they got another one. I'm like, oh, Christ. People aren't believing it when I'm already telling them the story.
Yeah. You're shitting me. You're fucking lying about that ShopRite Bear.
Two ShopRite Bears? Get the fuck out of here. All right, well, let's go to somebody else.
Fucking damn it, finally. There's like the whole music had me losing my marbles and shit, isn't it?
All right, well. Do you have a question, sir?
I'd like to place an order for overnight shipping. Shipping.
See, Ron, sometimes the phones are challenging.
Sure. You were telling me how great it is to talk to people, give advice.
Yeah.
How you love it.
Sometimes they just
want Jim?
Yes, buddy. And he got me. Yeah. I got a message last week from Tiffany Haddish. She called in and told me my phone line was no good because she was trying to call in the show.
Uh-huh.
The first celebrity I've had try to call in.
And wouldn't that have been fantastic?
It would have been great. Picked up. Yeah. Would have went around. Ah, celebrities listen.
Celebrities
listen. But no, I don't get that.
Tiffany.
But who gets through? Yeah. The fucking Suboxone.
It was good. It was a little bit good.
It was good, but then the other guy. But you know, the phones are not always a success.
Oh, they don't have to be.
No, yeah. I don't care about that. The whole getting laid on the road thing. We got away from the phone. Were you fucking girls in different towns?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got because you can talk too. Like when I imagine most of the carnival guys are more charismatic than the locals.
And sure,
You're rapping and you're coming in. You know, you.
Because like you go to, like I said, some of those farm towns and they see us worldly. You know what I mean? Like they're like just you're kind of like a band.
Yeah,
that has come to town. You know,
would you fall in love though, or would you get attached ever? I get attached.
Do you really?
Yeah,
even with a one night stand.
If she's really pretty and I'm like, oh, fuck, I could see something with this girl. Yeah, it was always, I always kind of got attached a little bit faster than I wanted to.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because you're all heart.
Oh, right. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, you're all heart.
I mean, no one's disagreeing.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say it, but. No.
But I would say stuff like, I'll be back, you know.
Oh.
I'll be back. Don't you worry about it.
Wait for me.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
Wait.
I'll be back. But there was no way to keep in touch back then. I mean,
no.
Not even a cell phone. It was a home phone.
Yeah. Call my mom and she'll know where I am.
Did you ever miss any of them? Or did you ever go back?
No, I never went back anywhere in my life. I never go back.
You don't seem like you get very attached very easily.
I don't know if I don't get attached, but I feel like that thing happened, you know.
You're okay.
Yeah.
With it being in the past.
Yeah, the past is in the past, right?
But you don't feel this need to, like, do you collect anything?
Not a fucking thing. Now, here's the funny thing. There's an auction going on for Fez's stuff. His family is putting stuff out. As a matter of fact, tonight is the official Fez hat. They have the gay shirt that he had. He fucking collected. I mean, he kept everything that he ever had. I even brought this up today. I don't have a picture of my mom. You know what I mean? I feel like everything lives in my memory.
Right.
I don't sit and like, oh, there's my old baseball glove.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work that way for me. But this guy never threw away a thing. And like his niece even said today that she found a jar of his toenails.
I heard he saved his toenails. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they going to raffle them off?
No, she threw them out. I said she made a major fucking mistake.
She probably did, yeah. Somebody would have bought them and done something with them. I don't know what you do with them, but I just...
What is it, like, you wouldn't be freaked out to see someone's toenails now, but once they're clipped, it sickens people, you know?
The odd thing is, if you said that there was a girl and she saved a jar of her piss, I'd be like, I hope they're careful when they ship it. But the toenails is something so bizarre about someone saving. It's just the smell of it. Now, is there anything in Fez's that you want? I mean, obviously you were very close to him. Is there anything that, like, a small trinket that you would put on your desk?
I don't. I think the short answer is no. And I know here's the thing about Fez. So one year for Christmas, he gives me this little thing that's inside. And it was a matchbook, right? And he goes, from a club, from this little club in Florida. And he goes, this is the night that we met. And I always save this matchbook. And I go, oh, well, that's really nice. You want me to have it? Yeah. I don't know where the fuck it is. You know what I mean? I remember when I was a kid, my dad came home from L.A. And he gives me a baseball. And it's signed by Don Drysdale. He went to some fucking thing
with
Don Drysdale. 2 weeks later, he's like, what the fuck did you do to the Don Drysdale ball? It's all fucking beat up. I'm like, we've been playing with it.
You didn't care.
I didn't even get the concept to have a baseball that you didn't use.
There's got to be something very healthy about that, though. You probably lack clutter. Like, the idea of not getting attached to these things. Like, I'm attached to things sometimes. Right. And it's probably really healthy to just look at a baseball. All right, a Don Drysdale one was probably stupid. But in general, the idea of not being fucking caught up. They gave me this cap.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, if Gene Simmons was here and he left this cap, I would keep it. Like, fucking, and it's so meaningless.
It is. I remember when you used to be a picture, like, you would be nervous that you
another kind of hoarding.
You don't have that anymore.
No, I'll take it if it's somebody I really, but I've met everyone I wanted to meet.
Yeah,
I can't think of anyone that I've not met and gotten a picture with that I wanted to.
Right.
I've been pretty lucky, so there's nobody really on the list other than, oh yeah, him. You know, if I met Spielberg, sure, I would want to, but I stopped doing that after a while. I'm like, yeah, I'm interviewing these people, I don't give a fuck. If I get it because they're here, great.
Right. But you used to go looking even at the building.
Yeah.
People didn't do your show.
Yeah, I would run out and look for a Metallica picture or something. It was, they didn't re-up with me. I don't blame them. It's just picture whoring.
I had Florentine on, and he was telling us about the trip that you guys took for that Ozzy thing.
That's right.
And I had been following along, and because it was such an unbelievable story that he was doing this last thing from the chair, and that you guys became this almost symbol for fans when you jumped the fence and got in that place, and you're just giggling like we're going to be in trouble. And then I see you guys backstage and you're with Ozzy, and then Ozzy kills it. And then the way he checked out right after that, I mean, it's like a fucking, it's like a movie.
Yeah. It's the way a rock star would want to go out, although not in the timing, but you got your life. I was happy for him as much as I haven't been able to listen to his music. It's just too depressing. But I'm very happy for him that he got to do that show.
Like, unbelievable.
Thank God that didn't happen a day before the show or 2 days before the show.
Right.
It happened. It was very important to him. And I've heard Kelly or Jack talk about like how he, the next day he was reading the reviews. Like he was right. really he was happy. That everyone loved it. So it couldn't have been a better send off.
I mean, I can't think of one other person who got that, who was like, I know I don't have much time. I want to do this thing. I've had, even not too long ago, I had a guy call me who, was like dying. So he wanted to talk to me and we talked and he was gone the next day. But
it was he a friend or a fan, you mean?
He was a friend okay. and a fan. I mean, I met him here in New York. His name is Blowhard. He used to come over, you know, because we used to have people come in at any interview at night and all that kind of shit. But I was just like, we were very matter of fact of talking about it. And he had been, and he had gotten the paddles. And he goes, I'm not, and he was awake when he got the paddles. And he goes, I'm never going through that fucking pain again. He goes, and they're telling me that I won't live. And I go, he goes, I just wanted to call you and say goodbye. And we talked for a little while. And then the next day he was gone, you know? And I'm like, it's so like, now I'm at the age where stuff like that happens that I know I'm showing up to say goodbye to family members or whatever. Have you ever been in that situation? Or somebody died in front of you?
I don't know if anyone's ever died in front of me. I'm very bad at those. Like, I'm always very bad with hospitals, and I want to be there for people, but I cry. Like, I'm just a bummer. I'm a fucking... I've talked a lot about, like, when Manny from The Cellar was dying, and he had brain cancer, and we were in the... And Geraldo was holding his hand in the hospital, and I remember just being, like, in awe that Greg could do that. I'm like, I'm so... I would blubber and make everyone feel worse. Like Greg was giving him strength and, you know, being there for
him. But crying is, it's nice to have somebody cry that you're leaving too. It's like being at the airport.
I guess you know, so,
it's nice if someone's crying and waving.
That's
you,
true. And then, you know, Jesus is your pilot. Well, no, he's Jewish. Probably not.
No, probably. He just, he won't admit it.
That's a great point. Yeah. Right down, you know, where he went. But it's that weird thing where I don't feel like, I feel like I make people feel worse in those situations. So I don't, I just can't handle it.
I don't think crying or you, I don't think any of those emotions are bad. I think they're all kind of important.
Yeah. You know? I guess so. I mean, and look, being there for someone is very important. I do try to talk to people. Like, I make sure I call my parents more now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just be present and don't be lost in, you know, fucking some porn addiction. Just, you know, be present for people. You're fucking...
What have you been doing, Jim? Watching a lot of porn. I'm telling you. I've turned this thing on the interracial porn. Really big fan now.
I can't believe I didn't get cuck porn. Mom, you were right. But yeah, when you're lost in that one of those stupid addictions, you're like, there's real life happening. What am I doing?
Do you identify with the cuck or the bull when you're watching cuck
porn? It's an excellent question. Yeah. And but I do think it's a polite question. I think we all know.
Yeah.
I don't identify with the bull. That was the question a friend asks. He wanted to give me the opportunity to defend myself.
Sure.
But you know.
Yeah.
No, I'm in the chair.
Oh.
I'm in the chair observing.
I identify with the girl. Where I'm just getting... Is getting fucked and I'm mocking the cuck.
Yeah, I've seen a lot.
This is a real dick.
Yeah, I kind of like that though. There's something hot about it. It's just so wrong and dirty.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
that's what you like.
Something wrong and dirty.
Yeah,
that wouldn't do anything for you.
Oh yeah, 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 it would. Yeah, any one of the positions I could say because you know I'm empathetic. So I like to just say, I wonder what that feels.
You're an
like.
Empath.
Yes, I am. I actually like when people bring up with. Interviewing with me, it's like when I'm doing like any research or anybody, I can put myself right in their position immediately. So I would I'm normally like, oh, I wonder how this part works, and then that's what I would talk to them about.
When they're interviewing, when you're interviewing a person, when they're interviewing to work for you?
No, when I'm interviewing them in like an interview.
Oh, in an interview.
But because I don't like. It's some people, they're just on a press tour, so they tell the same story over and over. And there's a lot of people that are considered good interviewers, and they ask questions like a prosecutor. They ask questions that they already know the answer to.
Yes.
So they'll go, oh, you know, your band broke up. What exactly were you thinking on that first night? Because they've read the story.
Sure.
You're trying to get the guy to tell a story he's always told.
Yeah. So you were in Florida and you met Fez.
Yes. Yes, it was a very interesting story. He came in. It was, but that is funny that people will do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're talking to one of them. I'm fucking lazy. I'm like, so, Gene, you took the makeup off? I really should be shot. Wow, I didn't realize it was this long we were talking. Ron, you're great. Thank you for coming and for tolerating this for as long as we...
Oh, I had a ball, buddy. It's always great to see you.
You too, man. I love you too very much.
Yeah.
And I guess Ron's show...
Bennington.
Just Bennington. Yeah. What time are you on Sirius?
Noon to two, but you can listen anytime on the app.
That's right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm not there anymore. Oh. How is the old place?
Oh, my God. It's just swinging. It's just swinging.
Thank you so much for calling my show. The episode's over. It's time to go. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. I hope everything works out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out. Good luck, stupid. Good luck, stupid. Don't blame me when it doesn't work out.